It's been a beautiful week. Had an awesome time with my sister and cousin in town the last week. We were able to spend some time with them and enjoy just having them visit. And then they both flew out of Seattle yesterday afternoon. So we drove up early Friday morning and spent the day in Seattle on Friday, stayed the night there, and then came back after we dropped them off. I love visiting big cities. Growing up about 3 hours from Chicago, we would go visit occasionally. But it makes me remember why I don't live there. And we went to Pike's Place Market, which was a really cool thing. There's a lot of people there, though. That was a massive humanity. And for this this country boy, that was a little bit much. But some really cool things to see there. It was neat to be able to drive over the mountains. That's always a beautiful drive to do. And it was just a good time with family. So I have some questions for you this morning. What are some things that we do without thinking? Some things that we just do every day without even taking time to consider it. It's just natural for us, just things that we do, and we just do it. When I think of, I was trying to make a list of that. I think, when was the last time that I actually thought about tying my shoes? Like, I actually took the time to think about how I'm doing it. And maybe some of you, you have to think about it every time you do it. But I think, and so maybe some people don't even tie their shoes. You know, you just tie it once, and then you don't tie them again until you get rid of those shoes, because you can just slip them right in, and then... Yeah, that's how you can do that. But you think about tying shoes, it's just a very simple task, something that doesn't really take a lot of thought. What about signing, doing the passcode on your phone? You know, if you just got it, you're trying to remember it all the time. Or if you're like me, it's the same passcode that you've had on the last three phones, so it's just kind of natural. You just go boom, 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 and it's done. Or maybe you think about the simple act of sitting down. When's the last time you thought about how are you going to sit down? No, we just sit down, don't we? We don't really think about it. It's just something that we naturally do. Or how about putting a shirt on? You just grab a shirt and you put a shirt on. We don't really think about it. We don't really think, all right, maybe some people do. Maybe you think about, am I going to put this arm through first or this arm through first? Am I going to do my head and then my arms? Am I going to do them all three at once? Sometimes you do think about that. But if we think about what we don't think about, there's a lot of things in our day-to-day life that we do that doesn't require a lot of thought. But how many things do we do without thinking that probably should take more thought than we give it? Some things that we do throughout our day that really we should think about more. And I'm sure we could come up with a lot of different things. But I want to ask you this morning, when is the last time that you purposefully thought about how you are worshiping God? When's the last time that you came into a time of worship, whether it's corporate worship like we have this morning, or a time of personal, private worship, that you actually purposely thought about what that was going to look like? You see, there's a trend in Christianity today, and it's something that is easy for all of us to get consumed with, and that is just coming to church or just having private times of worship and just going through the motions. And I understand this. It's easy to do. I catch myself doing it all the time. We come to church and we obviously get used to the schedule, what it looks like. We sing a song, we have a welcome time, we have announcements, we sing another song, we have offering, we sing another song. We just get used to what it looks like. And what can happen if we are not careful is that we lose the true meaning of worship. We lose what worship is actually supposed to look like. We don't actually think about what worship is supposed to be to us and what it is supposed to be to God. This morning, I want to take a look at some things that we can see from Psalm 100. So you can go ahead and turn there if you'd like. In Psalm 100, about what worship is supposed to be and what it is supposed to look like and what the actual purpose is of worship. Because I'm sure if I asked each and every single person here today, do you genuinely desire to have a true time of spirit-filled worship? I'm sure each one of us would say yes, definitely. But because it is something that we do routinely, it is something that we can allow to just become a routine and not something that should be changing us on a day-to-day basis. So Psalm 100, let's go ahead and read it in its entirety in these five verses. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we've already had this morning to worship you. Lord, I pray as we discuss this topic, something that each one of us do, whether we realize it or not, that we would have the desire to have a soul focus on you in our worship. Lord, I pray as we leave here this morning that we would be renewed in our zeal to worship you and you alone, and that we would be purposeful in our thinking about worship and how we are going to do it. Bless this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want us to see from Psalm 100 here is that we have four different things that are described to us about what true, genuine, spirit-filled worship looks like or should look like in the life of a believer. Let's see, first of all, that true worship is universally commanded. True worship is universally commanded. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. See, God is saying that he desires worship from every single person on the earth. From every single person that ever has lived, that is currently living, or that ever will live. He says, all ye lands. 1 Chronicles 16:23 says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. He says in Deuteronomy 29:18, lest there should be among you man or woman, or family, or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. God desires every single person to worship him and to worship him alone. And he desires it of all of us. We obviously realize that he would probably desire it of those of us that are believers. We would hope that we would be worshiping God. But do you realize that God desires the worship of every single person in the same way that he desires every single person on this earth to accept him as their personal Savior? God desires our worship, and he commands us to worship. And as believers, it should be our utmost desire to worship him in every single thing that we do. But specifically this morning, we're looking at two different ways that we worship: in personal private worship and in corporate worship here at church. If we think about it, there's a lot of different times that we have in our week, a lot of different places that we are, that we can worship. You know, just driving over the mountains on Friday and then again yesterday coming back, it is really hard to see the beauty that God has created in those mountains and in the beautifulness of that and not have the desire to worship him. Now, we can choose to reject that. We do that all the time. But just to see God's awesome handiwork, it is amazingly beautiful, especially for someone that comes, for all four of us, well, and my daughter Emma, but she didn't realize it yet. But all four of us, as we're driving through, we're seeing these mountains. We're all from areas that are rather flat in Illinois and Texas. And so seeing these mountains, it's like, wow, it's still amazing. We see God's amazing handiwork that he has created different things all throughout this world. His creation causes us to worship. As we're going to talk about in a little bit, there's a lot of different things that God has done that should cause us to worship. And God desires us to worship him. He desires it of all people. He desires it of every single person on the earth, every single person that is here this morning. He wants you to worship him. He wants us to worship him alone. God desires us to worship him. True worship is universally commanded. Secondly, I want you to see that true worship is to be centrally focused. True worship is to be centrally focused. Look down in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You see, we are designed to worship. We are created to worship, but not just worship anything in general. We are designed to worship God alone. We are designed to worship our Creator. Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. See, God created everything. I would hope that wouldn't be a question in our minds this morning. We realize that we look in Genesis that God created every single thing that is on this earth. But not only did He create them, He created them for a purpose, to worship Him. That is our purpose. He created us to worship Him and to bring glory unto His name. Ephesians 1:11 through 12 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." Our purpose, the thing that we have been created for, is to be to the praise of whose glory? Of God's glory. And we do that by worshiping Him. We do that by showing Him that we love Him, by showing Him that we desire to worship Him. But if our focus is to be on God, if we are to be centrally focused on God in our worship, then we should ask ourselves this question: what attitude am I bringing into times of worship? You see, what we often do many times is when we have times of private or corporate worship is we come into it seeking what we can get out of the time of worship. We come into it saying, I want to see what I can get out of this. And maybe it's not something that we verbalize or something that we're actually actively thinking. But in the way that we handle ourselves, in the manner that we go about it, we are saying we are trying to get something out of this time of worship. But let me ask you, is that the right thing to be desiring in worship? What is worship actually? You see, the question that we need to be asking as we go into worship is, what can I give to the Lord? In Psalm 96:5-7, Psalmist said, "Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength." The notice is, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. You see, worship is not receiving. Worship is giving. And it's giving to the Lord. You see, when we come into times of worship, it should not be with an attitude of, what can I get out of this? You see, what happens when we do that? What happens when we come into worship seeking what we can get out of it? More often than not, we're going to leave unfulfilled. We're going to leave maybe about like 97% of the worship time was beneficial, and we enjoy that. But then there's that 3% that, I just kind of missed out on that. I don't really appreciate that. We leave there. Are we focusing on the 97% or are we focused on the 3%? We're focused on the 3% because that's the thing that really didn't go right for us, because we're going into it thinking about what we can get out of it. But the true attitude of the believer, what we should be focused on, is what we can give unto the Lord. We need to enter times of worship seeking to give our all to God. You see, worship in its very definition is giving back to the Lord. Our focus should not be on ourselves. Our focus should not be on our circumstances and what we're going through. It should be completely focused on God and giving back unto Him the glory due unto His name. You see, when we do turn that focus off of ourselves, and we turn that focus on God and we worship Him and we glorify His name, we will experience so much deeper sense of joy and fulfillment than we can ever imagine. And that brings us to number three, that true worship should be joyfully given. True worship should be joyfully given. We see that in verses 1 and 2 and then verse 4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Going down to verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." The commands here, the commands of the psalmist, that what God is desiring of us is that our worship is to be joyful. Our worship should sound like we're actually enjoying worshiping God. It should look like we are enjoying to worship God, that we are joyfully doing it. Yet how many times are we allowing our circumstances to control what our worship looks like? How many times do we allow what is going on in our life? Do we allow the situations of our day, of our past week, of the past month to control what our worship looks like? See, the psalmist here is saying that we need to make a joyful noise. Isn't it awesome that it doesn't say that we have to make a perfectly harmonious noise? We just have to make a joyful noise. That means that every single person here, regardless of singing or musical ability, is able to worship God joyfully. It's going to sound different. Some of us might think that it sounds more joyful than others. But all of us can joyfully worship God because we're not just singing with our vocal ability, we're singing from our heart. And if we truly are doing so, we can all sing joyfully unto the Lord. And we need to serve the Lord with gladness. One of the amazing ways that we can worship God on a day-to-day basis is by serving Him. We can do that by serving others. We can do that by looking out for ways that we can help those around us. We can do that by picking up trash when it's not really our job. But we do it how? We do it serving the Lord with gladness. I'm sure we've all seen people who have been serving the Lord, but they have done it with anything but gladness. They just kind of go around as like, oh, well, I got to do this today, and I got to do this for the Lord, and got to go over here and do this. And it's just like, well, if you're hating it that much, why are you doing it? It really shouldn't be a drudgery. It shouldn't be something that is just such a burden on us. If we are serving the Lord, we should be doing it with gladness. We should be doing it because we want to, because we realize that the focus isn't on ourselves. It is on God, or at least it should be. If we're serving God, we are worshiping Him. And therefore, our focus should be on Him, not what we can get out of it, but how we can give back to the Lord. See, our worship sounds like what our heart is saying. Psalm 86:12, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Are we worshiping God with all our heart? Or are we just kind of giving God just a small portion of it when we come to church on Sunday or occasionally throughout the week? Or can we say that we are truly worshiping God with all our heart? That means when we come into times of worship, whether it's private or corporate, that we are seeking to worship God with everything that is inside of us. Have we truly experienced that? If we consider everything that the Lord has done to us, we're going to look at that in just a moment. If we consider everything that He has done for us, it should be such an overflowing of praise to God that we can't just help but shout and sing praises to the Lord. That we can't just but help and sing and glorify Him and make that joyful noise. Verse 4 goes on and says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. As we come before the presence of God, we come before Him with such an attitude of thanksgiving and praise to Him. Once again, this is turning the focus off of ourselves. And this is considering what God has done for us. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Boy, what if you are having a really, really bad week? What if everything has just gone completely wrong and you're just like, boy, I have like nothing to be thankful for this week? Do we really? Are we still breathing? Do you still have a God that is sitting on the throne? Do you still have a Savior that came to earth to die for you and to die for every single person on this earth? If we think about our circumstances in light of what God has done for us, we can't help but have the attitude of the psalmist here and enter into the gates with thanksgiving, coming before God's presence with praise and glory. If we come into times of worship purposefully and thinking about what God has done and how we can give back to Him the glory that is due unto His name, it will change how we worship Him. It will change our attitude. It will change our perspective. We cannot let joyful worship be dependent on our circumstances. In Acts 16, we see the story of Paul and Silas as they were sitting in the jail. And you know, they could have allowed their circumstances to control them, and really any of us would have allowed them, given them a pass, and said, okay, yeah, it's excused. You don't really have to worship God right now because you're sitting in prison. You're in stocks. It is really not comfortable at all. These prisons were not exactly really luxury places to be back then. And yet they worshiped God. And notice in chapter 16, verse 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. At midnight. You know, we understand probably they weren't getting a lot of sleep anyways in the condition that they were in. But if they were singing praises to God at midnight, wow, man, that means that the whole time they were there, they were praying and singing praises to God. And you know something interesting that we see at the end of this verse? This praise that they were offering up to the Lord wasn't just quiet and keeping it to themselves and just kind of going about it softly and saying, oh, well, praise the Lord, and singing really quiet hymns. No, we notice that they were singing loudly praises to the Lord. They were overflowing with praise to Him. How do we know that? At the end of verse 25, it says, and the prisoners heard them. They were so focused on the Lord and so not focused on their circumstances that the joy that was overflowing in their hearts was heard by all of the prisoners. And everyone heard them. You can imagine the other prisoners like, do these guys not realize where they're at? They're sitting in prison. They could be facing death for all they know. And yet they're singing praises to their God. When's the last time that someone knew that you were praising God? When's the last time that you stuck out in the way that you were worshiping your God, whether it's through service or actually singing praises to Him, or the way that you're living life, so that someone saw a difference in how you were worshiping God? You see, all of us worship something. Every single person in this world worships. And yet, our worship is so many times focused on the wrong things that when it is focused on something that sticks out, it should make a difference. We as believers should be worshiping something different, and that should be God. And it should be different in how we worship compared to the world. There should be a noticeable difference in how we worship because we are worshiping the one true God. Just as Paul and Silas were sitting in that prison and had no reason to worship, and yet they were worshiping so joyfully and so overflowing in praise that those around them heard him, so should we be joyfully praising God in our day-to-day lives. The number four, I want you to see that true worship is unquestionably deserved. Unquestionably deserved. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, as I just mentioned, is there things that we worship that really aren't deserving if we stop and think about it? You see, God created us to worship. We already talked about that. And therefore, because we're created to worship, all of us worship something or someone. But what are we worshiping? You know, if we have a question about what we're worshiping, we need to look no further than where we're spending our time and placing our resources, our money. Where are we putting an effort into? There's obviously things that we can partake in and do that are not wrong in and of themselves, but if we're elevating them to the level of worship, if we're elevating them above what we do for the Lord, then there is a problem. And we are worshiping the wrong things. We think about things that we all worship. We worship people. We worship the celebrities. We worship friends. We worship family members. We're investing so much time in different other people that it gets to the level of worshiping them. We can worship ourselves. You think about how much we invest in ourselves, how much time, how much money, in order to make ourselves better. Are we worshiping ourselves? Some of us can worship hobbies that we have. We can worship sports. We can worship things that we do every single day. So we can worship food. Boy, you think about the return that we get from these things. The return that we get from sports, you know, our team loses all the time. It's really not worth it. The return that we get from worshiping other people, they're going to fail us. They're not going to be able to completely return all the worship that we're giving to them. The worship that we give to ourselves, is that really worth it? No, we know that. We don't have to think about that very long at all. If we worship food, we worship what we're doing all the time. Boy, food sure doesn't give us much back. It gives us a lot back. That's the problem. We think about the things that we worship that are undeserving. The things that we worship that are not worth the worship. There is only one thing, only one person that is deserving of our worship, and that is God. And it is because He created us to do that. What has God done that deserves our worship, though? Because really, when we worship something, it's because we have this false idea in our heads that they are deserving of our worship. But as we just seen, they really are not deserving of our worship. But what has God done that is deserving of our worship? Well, really, there is no short list to discuss what God has done for us. We have but to look all throughout Scripture, and we can see what God has done for us. We have but to look back on our lives to see what God has done for us. But the psalmist here gives us three things that God has done that makes Him deserving of our worship. And if it was just these three things alone, it would be worth it. The three things we see, first of all, His goodness. Just as Pastor Randy talked about when he was leading the music, the goodness of the Lord. We have but to look back on our lives. It can be yesterday, from this past week. We don't have to look very far before we see the goodness that God has given to us, that He has blessed us with. Psalm 119:68, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. God is good. He is good to us personally. He is good to this world as a whole. James 1:17, Every good thing and every perfect thing is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. Every good thing that we have comes down from God. He is good to us. Secondly, we see His mercy. His mercy, it says here in verse 5, is everlasting. This means that God's mercy wasn't just extended at that one point in time, and then we had that one chance and now we missed it. No, God's mercy is everlasting. That means it will always be there. God's mercy is never going away. Psalm 86:5, For Thou, Lord, art good. Once again, we see He's good. And are ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. He is plenteous in mercy. His mercy is overflowing to every single person that calls on Him. God is not going to reject you based on your position. God is not going to reject you based on whatever philosophies of man that are out there. It says, well, only certain people are. No, God is accepting of everyone, and His mercy extends to every single person on this earth. And it is everlasting. He never runs out of mercy. It's not like He has a limited amount to give. It is overflowing. It is everlasting. It is always there for us. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy... Once again, explaining the fact that He is never going to run out of that mercy. He is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. God is rich in mercy. And we consider that, why can we not worship Him? How can we not worship Him? We consider how He has given us so much, just in His goodness, just in His mercy. But thirdly, we see the psalmist mentions, and His truth endureth to all generations. God is truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, in a world where there is a lot of lies going around, there's a lot of fake news, where there's a lot of things that we just don't know whether we can believe it or not. Aren't we glad that we know who we can believe and that is always going to be true? With whom there is no lies? That is God. When we begin to question what people are telling us, when we begin to question what is really true around us, we can always go back to the fact that God is truth. And that there is nothing in Him that is a lie. And if we consider that, and if we are wondering who we can actually believe, and we know we can go to God, it should result in us worshiping Him. It should result in us desiring to praise the name of the One who is true, who is merciful, and who is good to us. And like I said, we could go through so many different things that the Lord has done and who the Lord is that shows us why we should worship Him. But just these three characteristics alone should cause us to worship Him. and should cause us to have an overflowing attitude of praise to our God. In closing, I want to give you these three applications. We cannot forget, first of all, that worship equals giving. That worship does not equal receiving. You know, it is a byproduct. If we come into a time of worship focused on the Lord, we are going to receive blessings from being able to worship the Lord. We are going to receive a time where we're just spending time with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ focused on the Lord. But that should not be our desire. Our desire should be to be focused on God and to be focused on giving back unto Him the glory that is due unto His name. Our focus should be on giving to the Lord. Worship is giving back. Giving back to the Lord, just a small part of what He deserves. And secondly, we need to worship. When we are doing that worship, we need to do it with a heart overflowing with joy. We need to do it with a heart, a desire that is not focused on our circumstances, but is focused on the Lord. And is focused on what He has done for us. And then we will be able to do it with true joy. You see, if worship isn't self-centered, if it isn't focused on ourselves in the first place, then we will have a desire to worship God truly. We have a true divine sense of worship, spirit-filled worship, that is not focused on us and our needs and our desires, but it is focused on God. And when we do that, it results in joyful worship. And then third, lastly, be purposeful about worship. Be purposeful in the sense that when we come before God, when we enter into His gates, when we come into His courts, that we're doing it with joy, we're doing it with thanksgiving, we're doing it with praise. That we're not just doing it because it's just a thing that we do on Sundays, it's a thing that we do occasionally throughout the week, but that we're doing it purposefully. We're doing it with the attitude to worship God. That we're not holding back within ourselves just because, I really have an excuse. I really don't think I can do that today. But no, we are worshiping God. We're focused on what we're saying when we're singing. We're focused on the words that we're saying when we're praying to the Lord. We're focused on what we're doing and our attitude when we're serving Him in worship. It means that when we come to church, it means that when we have these times to corporately worship Him, one of the sweetest times during the week, that we turn the focus completely off of ourselves. And we are purposefully focused on the Lord. And we're giving back to Him what He deserves. And we are purposefully seeking to show our love to God. And that when we do that, when we desire to show our love to God, it results in that joyful, wonderful, amazing time that we can have with Him. So let me ask you this morning, do you have a true Spirit-filled worship in your life today? Or are we allowing our circumstances to control us? Are we allowing what's going on in our lives to just control our worship and really just quench it and just not allow it to actually be true worship? Or are we turning the focus off of ourselves? And are we turning the focus on God? And we are allowing ourselves to have joyful worship. And are we coming into these times of worship purposefully? And allowing the Spirit to fill us and allowing the Spirit to guide our times of worship. Because already the sweetest sound that you can hear is a group of Christians singing. Group of Christians singing praises to the Lord. But how much sweeter it would be if every single person, if we could all join together with that desire, turning everything off in the rest of our lives and turning the attention so focused on God. You know what? Whether it happens here on this earth at any point in time, we know for sure that one day we will experience that. Because when we are in heaven, when we are in the presence of the Lord, we're going to have no choice but to turn the focus off of ourselves and turn it on to God. He is going to be everything when we are in heaven. He's going to be our whole attention. We're going to be so focused on Him, we're not going to be distracted by what's going on around us. But why can't we do that today? Why can't we turn off the distractions of this world? I understand it's difficult. It's not something that comes natural to us. But if there is one time specifically that we can do that, it's when we come to church. Turn away from the distractions. Turn away from the things that are pulling at us. And turn our focus on the Lord. And let's have true Spirit-filled worship in our lives as believers today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Psalm 100. the challenge that it can be to us. I pray that all of us would desire, just as the psalmist said, Lord, to worship you joyfully. Lord, to worship you, to come before you with thanksgiving, with praise. Lord, it is because you are worthy to be praised that we do this. Lord, you command us to worship you. Lord, I pray that all of us would desire to do that, that all of us would seek to become better worshipers of you. And Lord, that we wouldn't divide our worship among different things in this world, that we wouldn't allow ourselves to take away time of worshiping you by allowing ourselves to worship other things. Lord, that our sole focus would be to worship you and you alone. Lord, I thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for the overall amazing attitude of worship to you. It's so sweet to be able to sing praises together to your name. But Lord, help us all to desire to become closer to you today than we were yesterday. And so that each time we come together and worship, that it is sweeter than the time before that. Lord, I pray that you bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to hymn number 124.